You know how much I love Take Your Passion and Make It Happen. It's so cool. Hello, my name is Sienna Gold, and this show is called Down to Earth. I'm here with the lovely Pam Davis. Hey, Pam.
Hello.
Rebecca's not here today. We get her every once in a while. It's always a treat. And, of course, we have the mystery engineer, whose name will not be mentioned. So, today I wanted to talk about something that I find very interesting. I ran across a recording of a reading I got from a friend of mine who I'd lost touch with for a long time. And I don't get readings, you know, I don't do that very often. But I did do that about a year ago, and I totally lost it and found it again. And one of the things that I heard on that reading, on the recording of it, was that I have an opinion about myself. I have a picture of myself that's not accurate. He said that I've got a couple of different things going on in there, as we all do. A part of me that knows who I am and what value I have, and another that feels I have no value and no worth, and that doesn't believe that I'm able to do what it is that I do, even though I'm doing it. So, of course, it doesn't make any sense. I found that very interesting, and I thought to talk today about what you believe about yourself. What do you think about yourself, really? Are you aware of who it is that you are? Are you aware of what you're capable of? You know, so I thought we would go there. If you'd like to call in, you're absolutely welcome. The number here is 530-265-9555. And you can also go to kvmr.org if you want to check us. By the way, this show is available online at kvmr.org, and you go to Down to Earth. So, Pam, what do you think about that?
I really agree with the person who gave you the reading, is that we all have parts of us which we don't understand.
Yeah.
And that we are maybe hiding because we don't think that they're truly who we are.
Hmm.
I think that I wonder sometimes when I look at myself exactly whether or not that's really me, mm-hmm. that I'm seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this is a very good subject.
Yeah. What was interesting is that he said that I got this idea about myself when I was really little. And, of course, you know, that's where it all happens. And I decided when I was little, because I was being treated in pretty much of a negative way, that something was wrong with me. In my particular case, also, I saw that I was different than other people. And I've known that my whole life, that I just am different, but I didn't want to believe it. So I know this is true, had been working through my life to be like everybody else and was never able to succeed. So that further punctuated the idea that I am not worthy because I'm not like other people. And he said, you know, you're not like other people, Sienna. You know, and I'm aware of that, and that doesn't make me better than anybody. It's just that I'm a little different. So, which is why I guess I'm able to do what it is that I do. And thank goodness I found that. But you all, I'm sure, out there have the same thing going on, where you, because of what you were taught, because of what you were told as little kids, believe something about yourself that's absolutely not true. And it's very limiting. That was the other thing that the guy said in the reading, was that he said that the amount of I guess the word I'll use is juice that I'm running through my body because of what I'm able to access. You know, this is all kind of woo-woo, but I'm not a woo-woo kind of person, as you know. But, I can feel what people are feeling, their physical and emotional pain, and I can see what happened to you as a kid and blah, blah, blah. he said, because of the amount of juice that I'm running through my system can't really take it. And I'm super healthy. I have been my whole life. I have a strong body. Otherwise, I don't think I'd be able to do this work. But that combined with a lot of other things that I believe about myself, they're keeping me... He said the belief about myself is keeping me from being able to handle even more capacity if I were to want to. So I thought that was an interesting thing.
Yeah. I find that when you mentioned your childhood, I had a very controlling childhood.
Mm.
And I was always felt like I was failing, that everything I did, I couldn't do it right. I couldn't get to where it was. But I realize now that that wasn't ever true. That was just, I was just made to think that about myself. So it is an interesting thing as we grow and become aware of who we are through experiences, mainly. I'm 71 years old. I can go back and look at how I've changed over the years.
Well, can you give us some examples? Because I'm thinking of my own. I'm going to think of some, too.
Okay. I guess basically I really felt insecure. I felt I could not accomplish anything that I wanted to accomplish. But then as time went on and I realized that all I had to do was take that step, I got my teaching credential at 52 years old.
Whoa.
I decided that at 50 that I'd always wanted to be a teacher and I was going to go be one.
Mm.
And so by 52, I had my teacher's credential and started teaching. And it was something that I never would have gone for if I had been younger. I would have thought, oh, no, I can't do that. I need to do this or this or this because everybody told me.
Mm-hmm. Because everybody told you.
Yes. This is what you need to do. And when I decided to go to college, I was told that unless I did certain things that my parents would not support me.
Mm.
And so I said, fine, I'm just going to do it myself. Mm. And I did.
Mm-hmm.
And I always felt like everybody wanted me to do something that I didn't want to do. But I had to get the strength in myself and to feel like I could do those things. And so I did.
You know, what's interesting is that my sense is that parents are supposed to guide us. They're supposed to go and have their lives that were guided by their parents and allow you to fall and get back up and learn basically how to ride the bike. I was talking with somebody recently, and because they were never really allowed to make decisions on their own, but also to have follow through on their own. And the example that I used is if when you're learning to ride a bike, you've got your parents behind you and you're on your two-wheeler and you're scared to death because you don't know how to balance yet. And the parents hold the back of the seat. And so they're in back of you and you're learning how to balance. And then one day you realize that you're riding on your own. You're so used to having that hand back there. You're riding on your own. And that gives you an incredible sense of accomplishment. You also learn balance and you learn that you're capable. Well, this person that I've been talking to, with him, the parents never took their hand off the seat. So today he's relearning what it is that he needed to learn back in the day, back when he was a little kid. And I think that happens to a lot of us. Rather than getting the guidance that we need, we get mandated and forced to do and think and believe things that really don't work for us.
Right.
I again think that happens throughout our society, that we are forced to do and believe things that don't really support who it is that we are as human beings. And in that, you don't learn to be an individual. You learn to be a sheep, basically, and to be part of the flock.
Right.
Which I think is really hard for us to deal with.
Yes, I agree. I mean, when I was growing up, I didn't think I could accomplish much of anything because I was constantly told I wasn't good enough to do that. And I know when I told my parents I wanted to be a teacher in college, oh, no, they don't get enough money. You couldn't possibly want to be a teacher. And I really did, but I didn't do it. at that point because they kept telling me that I couldn't. And so I think this is important, like you said, that they're supposed to guide us, but so many times they want us to be just like them.
Right. And they do that because of the insecurities that were instilled from their parents to them.
Exactly.
You know, because we have things that are little upside down here in this world. The other thing about that is that we believe we're too old to do things. I thought that was really interesting what you said about being 52 and going and getting your teaching credential. Yes. You go, girl.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I think that, I mean, I've gone through this myself, even though, you know, I feel like I have plenty of time left to do whatever it is that I want to do in this life. I've always, you know, not always, but often had feelings of, wow, you know, can I still do this? Am I too old to do this? But you're not. You're going to have those years anyway.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's like, do it. Take the chance and do what it is that you want to do. What were you going to say?
Well, just that, you know, I had a lot of people look at me kind of funny when I said, I'm going back to college to get my teaching credential. And then when I went to apply for a teaching job and they want to know your age, I'm 52 years old. And they go, oh, you know, and you're a brand new teacher. And I go, yes, I'm a brand new teacher. But I was able to teach anyway. Mm. And I would tell anybody out there, you're never too old. Mm-hmm. If there's something you really want to do, do it.
Yeah. And the belief that you're too old is really super important.
Right.
To let yourself, let that go through your system. Just pay attention to what it does to you.
Yeah.
I'm too old to do X, Y, and Z. That's a belief about yourself that's not true. And that's a belief about yourself that's instilled, that's a societal, I call them societal impositions, where you're taught that you are supposed to do this and supposed to do that based on age. Now, just imagine what would happen if we didn't know how old we were. OMG. Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't that be awesome to not know how old you are?
I think so.
I think that'd be great. Dogs don't know how old they are.
No.
You know?
And they have a good life,
and they have a great life, depending on who they wind up with, because we've got some coconuts out there. They don't know how old they are. And if we didn't know how old, can you imagine how freeing that would be if you didn't know how old you are?
Good.
And because people wouldn't be able to categorize you. And, you know, people who are of a retirement age, say, they've got plenty of juice. They're fine. They can still work. But because they've reached a certain age, the society has decided that that you, just like what you did, what it is that you, did you get a job, by the
way? Yes, I did.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And I went through my student teaching at 51 years old, and it was great. And I didn't have, you know, and my master teacher was a lot younger than I was, but it was okay because she understood that this was my goal, was to become this teacher. And I loved it. I didn't teach for, you know, 30 years like a lot of the teachers because of my age, but I had a really, really good time.
How long did you teach for?
I taught for 12 years.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So you said you're 71 now?
Yes.
So have you worked since then at all?
No, I took care of Daryl. You know.
Oh, yeah. That's Daryl's. Tell people who Daryl is.
Daryl is was my husband, and he developed cancer and died in 2017, and I took care of him as his caregiver for 7 years.
Wow. Was it 7 years?
It was 7 years.
Well, by the way, in case you don't regularly listen to the show, that's how Pam and I met. They were really doing whatever they could to help Daryl get through this and to overcome his condition. Yeah?
Yes.
And it heard about me.
Yes.
And so you want to finish telling the story and I'll add to?
Well, I sent you an email or something like that, and you said you were interested, and I said, well, we're going down to Los Angeles to this clinic down there for his cancer treatments, and that when we get back, we'll talk.
Right.
Well, then beautiful Sienna was coming down to L.A., mm-hmm. and she actually, you looked us up on just shortly after New Year's, mm-hmm. and gave Daryl his session.
Yeah, which was really great. And Pam, of course, was like the fierce. She's like, get away from my man.
Very, very possessive, you know, of I needed to be wherever he was at every
minute.
At all
time. And of course, you know, the first one is 4 hours long, and it's very personal what I do with people all the time. So it's about being alone.
Yeah.
And she said, I want to sit in on the session with
him. They wouldn't let me.
And
so
she had a fit.
I did.
She was so angry.
I was.
And how did we wind up? She wound up having a session herself.
Right.
How
right.
did that happen? How did that
Well,
happen?
I went into the bedroom and shut the door and was just angry as heck. Yeah. And when you guys finished, you came in. Or Daryl came in and he said, well, she wants to talk to you now. Well, I was so angry, I wasn't going to talk to you.
Right.
And I said, absolutely not.
I wasn't wanting to do a session with you.
No,
I
just
was just
to talk.
Because I knew how upset you were.
Yeah, and so finally he talked me into it and I went out and we talked and she calmed me down. And you ended up giving me a session, but later on, another day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
See, you remember and I don't. Yeah, that's why I said, do you want to tell the story? Because I know how my brain works.
And so that really changed me a lot, that session.
Mm.
That just that one meeting with you made me realize that everything I was feeling or doing was related back to my childhood.
Yeah, that's how it works.
And all of a sudden then I could look at that and go, oh, well, that's not true. I shouldn't be doing that because that's not true. That's not who I am.
Mm.
And it helped. It really, really, really did help me.
Really? Well, great. I'm so happy to hear that. And and just so you all know, we kept in touch. And Daryl passed 2 years ago.
Yes.
And then I knew what a little talker she was and that she really did understand what I was doing. So I invited Pam on the show and she's been here.
I love it.
I'm so happy to have you.
Yeah.
Really, it's really great. It's really great.
I enjoy it so
much. Yeah, me too. So the thing that I was going to say is that I've got this ability. And I have never really understood it. The whole family has it. My mom would know who was on the phone when the phone rang, kind of thing. My dad could meet somebody and he'd like within seconds know what astrological sign they were.
Wow.
My grandmother was super tuned in as well. And she was very much into God and prayer and that sort of thing. My mom, too, at the end of her life, she was very much... my mom was the one who would put her hand on the television. She was really afraid of her ability, but my grandmother wasn't. My grandmother and I had a really wonderful relationship, and she taught me a lot. You know, she was just super supportive, where I didn't have that kind of support from my mom and my dad. But even with that support, I know she didn't fully understand what was going on with me any more than I did, any more than anybody else did, because I would look at somebody and say, oh, you know, they'd say blah, blah, blah. And I'd say, well, but it's not really blah, blah, blah. It's blah, blah, blah. And they would say, oh, my goodness, get her away from me, you know, because because I would pick up on what they weren't saying or pick up on things that were really true. You know, I'd pick up on what they were omitting or pick up on the fact that they were not even telling the truth. So I spent pretty much most of my life feeling really ashamed of having this ability. And I always doubted myself, which was something that came out in that reading from my friend that I told you about. Always doubted myself, always felt like I had not a problem, but was just odd. And I would feel these things and see these things and just totally doubt myself. And because I was so different, I just think differently than other people. I always have. I still do to this day. And I just beat the crap out of myself through my whole life, really not appreciating, not able to appreciate the other aspects of me. The aspects of me that I was beating up on, I couldn't appreciate them because society had made me feel that there was something wrong with me. That coupled with a lot of neglect, from childhood, especially emotional. I'm sure that I was fed well enough, but there was a lot of course, you know, the abuse and all that kind of crap I went through. Blah, blah, blah. By the way, I've said so many times too that if I hadn't gone through what I went through, and I went through hell, all of my sisters and I, even my mom went through hell. And my mom also was pretty mean herself. But if I hadn't gone through what I went through, I wouldn't be able to do the work that I'm doing today. So even though this system here, this world that we live in, is cattywampus, I mean, cruelty reigns, which was a big thing that I could not understand growing up. I never understood cruelty. I didn't understand anger. I never understood deceit. I didn't understand the way people treated each other. It just didn't make sense to me. And to this day, I'm super outspoken. If you've had any run-ins with me, you know that I kind of speak my mind. People don't really like it that much. But, you know, I think at sometimes at least, and maybe more times than I'm aware of, they kind of step back and like, oh, my goodness, that hurt. But she's right, kind of thing. So it's not that I need to be right. That's not what I'm after. What I've learned to do is be myself. And that's really what this is all about today, is there's a belief that you have about yourself from what was imposed on you as a child. And then through your life, of course, because you have that belief that was instilled as a child, those feelings that you have about yourself are going to go out. You know, my philosophy that your feelings are bringing everything in. So those feelings are going to go out on this very strange, very not solid little planet that we're on, according to quantum physics. And those feelings are going to bring experiences into your life over and over and over again until we get those feelings integrated, which is what it is that I'm talking about, by simply allowing yourself to feel, I'm doing XYZ in my life, I'm working at this job or in this relationship or in this marriage in my life, and I really am not happy here. I really don't like it here, but this is where I belong. This is what I'm supposed to do, with quotes. Well, that's a belief that doesn't have a whole lot to do with who it is that you are at your core. And the way that you can get hold of how those beliefs and the experiences that are coming into your life as a result of those beliefs, the way that you get hold of them is by feeling how it feels, especially when you're uncomfortable. Feel uncomfortable feelings. Just allow them to be there. You don't have to fix them. You don't have to heal them. There is no healing. We've done. There's healing if you want to do healing. You can do the healing. But I don't talk about healing. I talk about allowing, not accepting or forgiving or fixing or getting rid of or embracing and liking. When you allow yourself just to feel, you feel how it feels to be in a situation that doesn't support you, and you feel what you do to pretend that you don't feel that way. So you don't stop suppressing your feelings. You keep allowing yourself to suppress and feel how that feels. And people say, well, I can't feel my feelings. Well, check that out. Pay attention to that. If you can't feel it, you know something big has just hit you, something emotional has hit you, and you're not reacting to it. That is information in itself. Did you have something to say?
No, I'm just agreeing with you. I think it's really important that we are not afraid of who we are. I know I was afraid more of failing if I did certain things than success, because I had been told this all my life, you can't do that because that's not what you're supposed to do. And if you do that, you're not going to be able to do it well. And I just, at that point, as time went on, I realized, you know, I'm just going to do this. And if people don't like it, then that's what they're going to have to look at, is why don't you like that? And yeah. I think that's an important thing to think about.
So here's the deal. I was just talking to someone yesterday who I haven't seen for a long time. I'm actually coming out of my shell. Which is amazing. I am reclusive. I'm like mega withdrawn. I spend most all of my time alone. But I have decided that I'm ready to come out. The turtle's poking her head out, out of the shell. So I looked up a friend that I hadn't seen in a really long time. And we hung out yesterday. It was great. And she and I were talking. And it was really awesome. And one of the things that she brought up was that if you, this is a common, this is what we commonly believe, that if you what you focus on comes into your life. So you don't want to focus on the negative. You want to stay focused on the positive. And I think that's all fine and good, but that's going to keep the negative just as fat and big as you can possibly imagine, because the negative's not going anywhere because you don't focus on it. Sure, if you do focus on positive things, you're going to, because you are letting yourself feel that positive feeling, that feeling is totally going to go out and bring in positive experiences. You're going to get your new red car, whatever it is, into your life. However, those other feelings that are there that are not so positive, that you are not comfortable focusing on, they're still there. Those little buggers are still there. And they're going to be going out under the radar, and they're going to be bringing experiences in right along with what it is that is positive that you're focusing on. So rather than talk about focusing on one thing or the other, if you just pay attention to how you feel and how you operate, that is what's going to make things work, which means that your negative, quote unquote, feelings are also, which I believe are equal to your positive feelings, by the way. I'm sure people are going to hate that, but that's how I feel. They're, because they're just feelings. They're just experiences on this planet that we are in these bodies, in these cars to have. Okay, so I know I sound crazy, but you know what? I'm not crazy. I'm not crazy. I know I'm not crazy. I get that now. Anyway, when you allow yourself just to experience your life, experience your feelings intact, just the way that it is, you don't have to manipulate yourself in any way. You don't have to make yourself meditate in order to get here or there. What was that face?
I just am one of those people, everybody, I can't sit still long enough to meditate.
Yeah.
I'm just not one of the, I can do different things to when I need to do them as far as getting my spiritual side and calming down on that. But to actually sit cross-legged and meditate, I can't do that.
Right. Well, there are a lot of people who can, though.
Yes, and that's beautiful that they can.
And I think that, like anything else, you know, when we were talking, we had the show before about healing, because you were kind of taking me to task about the healing.
Right.
You know, because I just am, I'm not a healing person. I don't think we're wounded. I just don't see that. But I do see that at a certain stage of your development, if you will, at a certain stage of your evolution here, that you think you're wounded and will do whatever it is that you need to heal that. I totally get that. It's the same thing with the meditation. Right. If you are in a life, and as we all are and have been, excuse me, where you're super confused, you don't know what end is up, because this world is designed to keep you that way, in my opinion. Yeah, you can meditate and you can find clarity and you can find peace and you can, you know, you can breathe and your life's working better and things are really great. And then all of a sudden, you know, a couple of years down the line, things go a little sideways and you're not sure why things aren't quite working. You're meditating and you're doing your thing. What is this weed that's popped up into my life kind of thing? You know, let me cut that off. And geez, now the same kind of weed's popped up over here in a different aspect of my life. Well, that's happening because your feelings just need a place, the end. Your feelings, all of them, I don't want to hurt, and I hurt and I hate that I hurt. They all just need a place. I call it composting. And when you allow yourself to compost, other people might call it integrating. You don't do the integrating. You do the feeling. It's very simple. By just feeling your feelings, no matter how they look, that shifts things, which is a really hard thing to understand. It takes a long time, and it's very subtle. But it's you get to know who it is that you are, which is a really wonderful thing at the end of the day. You have something to say?
Well, just that, you know, when you feel your feelings.
I know.
I find now that just by letting that little bit of anger go, that little bit of tears go, whatever it is that I am
When you say go, what do you mean by that?
I experience it. I don't try to hide it, stuff it, or anything like that. You know, if I'm going to be angry, I'm going to be angry, and I'm just going to... I find that after I do that, I calm down, and then I find myself smiling.
Right.
It really does work, but if you stuff it, it comes back as a trigger. Something will trigger it, and it'll come back and slap you.
Let me say this to you.
Okay.
This is a big deal. It's okay if you stuff it.
Is it really?
Yes, okay. My darling. How many years have we been together? It's okay if you stuff it. Why is it okay?
I don't know. I would think that it would just come back to haunt you at some point.
Yeah, it does. Until it gets integrated. Until the part that it is that you're stuffing gets integrated.
Right.
And until the stuffer gets integrated.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
Okay.
Right? Yeah.
So what you're suggesting is stuffing the stuffer. which is how people seem to, you know, they talk about releasing. I'm gonna release.
That doesn't release.
Well, but yeah, but it doesn't. What or let go. I'm gonna let go of these feelings. I'm gonna let go of this pain. That doesn't. That will quasi work for a short period of time until it comes back, which is exactly what you're saying.
Right.
You know, and. When you try to release, this is my way of looking at things. I'm sure people are like, oh, she's crazy. Yes, I know what she's talking about. Well, I do.
Yeah,
I do know.
Does.
I do. It's pretty awesome when you understand what it is that I'm saying. And I think that you really need to have done the meditating. You need to have made attempts at healing. You need to have done all the things that people do to fix or relieve the pain that they're in before you really understand that that's not it. That's the human, what's the word? It's the human remedy for something that doesn't need any healing or curing. It's not, you're not in a quandary. And at the end of the day, as I've said so many times now, that I really understand that the people I work with, the part of you that I work with is behind your eyeballs. It's the part that's moving your body around, that part that's here having this experience and not really understanding a lot of what's going on. And what's also interesting, I just saw your attention go for a second.
No, I'm listening.
Okay, so, what was I saying? Gosh, that was my fault. Well, that was my thing. I was kind of in the zone there for a second. What was I saying?
Talking about stuffing.
Right, I was talking about stuffing. I was talking of, the things that I do talk about when I talk about the part of you that's behind your eyeballs, the part of you that's moving your body around, that can be looked at sideways. The what I'm talking about, you know, what is that? What does she mean? You know, you get up, you eat, you go to work, you come back. It's no woo woo. There's no like mystery thing going on here. Well, I don't say that it's a mystery thing going on here, but I say that what's really going on is we're skirted. We are encouraged to move away from what's really going on, because if you really knew what you were worth, if you really knew how things worked here, you would not be so easily managed. We would, you know, people wouldn't be able to get away with feeding us crap and cramming crazy things down our throats and influencing the kids the way that they do, and people being taught how to be cruel to other people. We would be so within ourselves, if you will, so clear about who it is that we are, that we would not only would we have individual experiences on this earth that are different, but the whole planet would feel different. We would just have a different awareness. So I feel that when people like me talk about things that are considered super esoteric or, you know, way off the beaten path and are looked at with disdain, that too is by design, to keep you away from the possibility of actually looking at life with a different perspective and being happy, much happier. I have a really wonderful life, which I talk about all the time. There are things in my life that I wouldn't mind were a little bit different, but I have a wonderful life. And I am, again, in conscious deep partnership with what I call whatever grows those plants. We're all in partnership somehow with that. That's why our bodies are able to move, because whatever it is that we are is an aspect of whatever, this is how I understand it, grows those plants. And that's what animates our bodies. That's what makes life happen generally. And when you get your human stuff checked, you know, basically, which means making room for it by allowing it, which is how I look at things, what happens is that your human perspective, the way that you look at life that you're taught, that doesn't really have anything to do with what you're capable of, which goes back to what you believe you are, when that gets integrated, if you will, by whatever grows those plants, then you have a whole other experience of life. And it's awesome. Did you have something to say?
Well, you know, I find that as I become more of who I am, as I discover more by going through everything and letting myself look at who I was and how I've become this person now, I find that I can't talk about it to a lot of people. And maybe you're the same way, because some of the things that I believe in or do are just sort of out there.
Yeah.
And I find some people just don't want to hear it.
No. Well, no, because they're comfortable in kind of like a TikTok thing going on. By the way, my name is Sienna Gold. This show is called Down to Earth. If you ever want to get hold of me, my number is 530-477-8008. You can also go to kvmr.org and find my contact information. I'm here with Pam Davis, the lovely and talented. And luckily and thankfully, Pam sits in with me every week and lets me bounce things off of her ideas and things. And we have our mystery engineer who will remain nameless. We are on once a month, every third Monday at noon after the news. Let's see, where were we? You know, here's the deal. When you're a little kid, when you come into this life, you are aware of that interaction, that bond between you and whatever it is that grows the plants. That's who you really are, which ultimately, you know, when you say just now, when you said, when I get to know myself, when I am myself, who you are is the essence of you that's moving that body around behind those eyeballs. Yeah. That's who you are. Okay, the rest of it is conditioned from the experience that you're having having this body on this planet. When I talk about the planet not being solid, as I've said, I always say, check out some quantum physics if you want to know what I'm talking about. So who you get back to ultimately is how you were, who you are still inside of yourself that you came in with as a little one when you were born. You're conditioned. We get conditioned as human beings, which is part of the experience here. It's part of the ride. It's a ride. To me, this is a ride. It's a game. It's pretty awesome. Oh, what was that movie? I love that movie. Ready Player One. I love that movie. But it reminds me, you know, this the Earth reminds me of that. And so when you get back to your core, which is who it is that you really are, you view things a lot differently. You viewed things a lot differently before you got conditioned by your parents and by your schoolmates and by your workmates, you know, and by your lover, your partner, your wife or husband or whatever. Who you are inside is very, very different. And who you are inside that we're ultimately looking for is the part that you came in here with. And that's getting there is the trick, because there are a lot of pitfalls, and they come in the form of a lot of negativity, a lot of fear that we're bombarded with, which I talk about a lot. Scary movies, scary video games for the kids, scary this, that, scary news. Fear is a big deal here. And in my world, it's not about overcoming the fear. It's about allowing it. And when you allow it, you start to see its root. And you go to the root of what happened to you as a kid that scared you in the first place. And you can also see how that fear is being perpetuated by society and by what it is that we are taught is the right or proper way to go. We are steered deep, very, very clear of any intuitive ability that we have. Where that's made fun of. I mean, I've been ashamed of this ability my entire life. Just ashamed of it. And holy smokes, I don't know what happened. I think I had to go through the shame and go through the conditioning, the human conditioning that I went through until I got to, wait a minute, this ability is the best thing that I have. It's what makes it possible for me to understand the world in a way, understand and participate in the world in a way that allows me to be happier than I ever thought I could possibly be. Sounds like you have something to say.
Well, it's just that I'm kind of new to this. This didn't, I mean, not really, but the knowledge that I have certain abilities that I can do things. I still have a problem when I say something to somebody and they respond to me with all this negativity. I'm still working on that. Because then you immediately, it makes me question.
Right.
Am I doing the right thing? Is this really who I am? But you know, deep down inside, yeah, that's who you are. It's just that society doesn't always accept it.
No.
And I think that's what I'm still learning.
The large part of this, of society does not accept it. And I've got a college degree. I speak three languages. This is my spiel. You know what I mean? I've been all over. I've traveled. And I'm just fabulous, you know? I don't have psychic abilities. I'm not going to let that be part of my life. But it is. And it's a big part. And it's really strong. And I really feel that the more we allow that to be part of our lives, even if you're afraid of it. This is a good subject, I think, at some point for us to do. But oh, the show's almost over. But if you did want to call in, you can reach us here at 530-265-9555. I don't promote myself in that way. I don't say, you know, I'm, you know, come, and I don't do that, because that's not where I want to, that's not how I want to be identified. I talk about, we're going to get you in touch with what it is that you've buried as a kid that's keeping your life upside down. That's what I do. I talk about giving people a different perspective, and you get the different perspective by taking a look simply from where you are right now at how you're feeling and how you handle your feelings. That's the easiest way to explain things, but I really feel that the more all of us allow ourselves to feel when you get a hit about something and you say, ah, you know, that's nothing. Well, it's something. It really is. And little by little, with practice, you start to be able to trust yourself in a different way. And as you do that, you again will find that you're, ooh, I'm getting dizzy. Whoops. Yeah, I was in there for a second. Yeah. you know, it was interesting because this guy who did this reading for me that I started this show off talking about, he said something about me constantly looking for love, which I've talked about before. And, oh, we have a caller. And he said that the reason I'm always looking for love is because what I understood as love was taken away from me as a kid. And what I understood as love was a human interpretation of love that doesn't have much to do with what people would call love, which is ultimately what I am learning is where my ability comes from. Let's take this call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Sienna, thank you so much for your beautiful show and your beautiful self today.
Aw, thank you. Thank you so much, and you're welcome.
I wanted to ask you a quick question. I know the show's almost over, but what is your opinion? I have a brother who has suffered from mental illness for most of his life since he was a little boy, and he tends to really dislike the pharmaceuticals that they give him, and so then he goes to self-medication with his own kind of ways, as you may be able to imagine. And it's just been a struggle all my life trying to help him. Is that someone that you would be able to help? I'm thinking that this might be a good fit. I'm not sure.
Okay. So first of all, I don't help anybody. So to get the semantics out of the way,
okay.
But I teach you how to take care of yourself and to view yourself in a different way. Secondly, I am not a therapist. I'm not a therapist. I work with people generally who've done a lot of work on themselves, either meditation or ayahuasca or reading or books or workbooks or classes, which is all stuff I cut out when you start working with me, until you're ready to go back, if you're ever ready to go back to using those things. But you need kind of a little bit of an understanding of who it is that you are from the beginning. So if somebody is dealing with what your brother, what's his name?
His name is Drew, and he...
he's a good-hearted guy.
He's a very good-hearted guy. He has very low self-esteem.
He's very sad, and he's very angry and frustrated with the way that he was looked at through his life. He was not understood, which is a big deal. He wasn't seen for who... Boy, he could smash somebody's face. Whoa. I don't know. When you said he's got mental health issues, tell me what you mean by that.
I think that he actually drives himself into it in a way because he is in such pain and he was very misunderstood all of his life. So I think his mental illness is part of it is schizoid, it's schizophrenia and bipolar. But honestly, when he's on his psych drugs, he's pretty stable. But I think he doesn't have the insight to himself like you explained, that the original sort of sweet soul.
Yeah, he's pretty awesome. He's super creative.
Yeah.
He's really something, actually. He's pretty cool. I honestly don't really think that it's what I can do. You can give me a call and we can talk about it a little more.
Okay.
But I don't think that it's something that I should delve into, to be honest with you. But we can talk. Give me a call, 530. You have a pen? Or you can also, you can get it. It's my number is 530-477-8008.
Yes, I have it. Thank
okay.
you so much, sweetheart.
Yeah, and you're very welcome. And remind me of who you are when you call, if you call, okay?
I will call.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. You take care. Thanks for the call. Take care now.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, I guess we're at the end of the show. I know, it went fast.
It went fast. It was so much fun.
I know. So I always love having the show. So the next time we are on is, and the mystery engineer is checking it out right now. It'll be August 12th?
19th.
August 19th is our next show, unless there is a fun drive, and then we are always preempted for that. But we're on at 12. The show's called Down to Earth. My name, again, is Sienna Gold. I'm here with Pam Davis. Thank you, Pam.
I love being here.
Yeah, I love having you here. Thanks, and hopefully I'll see you in a month. Take care.